The book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is the 20th chapter. And we come now to verse number 4, the second commandment. We have dealt with the first commandment, and now we deal with the second commandment. Here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now, this commandment, the second commandment, does not end with verse number 4. That's why we read on down through verse number 6, because that is part of this commandment that we see here tonight. This commandment is also referred to over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 25, where it says, "When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of any thing, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger." In other words, God knew that these things would come. He had warned them against it, and he reminds them of that in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 25. This commandment is one of the longest of the commandments, and it is very important for us to note what is said here. For in the Near East and in the Far East, folks have this problem with making images. When I was in Korea, they would have these images that they would make. Thankfully, South Korea has many, many Christian people. There have been a number of missionaries through the years. One of the young ladies that Karis went to school with at Pensacola, her and her husband are there as missionaries preaching the gospel now, and I'm thankful for that. And I met a very large number of missionaries while I was there for a year at the expense of Uncle Sam paying for my missionary journey. And it worked out really, really good. There was a missionary named Young Ho Lee. I don't know if any of y'all remember Young Ho Lee. And he was there and did a great work for the Lord there. But I would go out in the countryside. I had a Yamaha 250 Enduro that I had flown over from Japan in the belly tank of an F-4 fighter jet. I paid some pilot and the co-pilot, to pick up a motorcycle for me while they were in Japan. They had to fly over to Japan. They made a door on the belly tank. They didn't need that much fuel, so they made a door on the belly tank, and they put the crates that my motorcycle was in, brand new motorcycle, and put it in the belly tank and flew it back to Kunsan, Korea on the Yellow Sea. And so we put the bike together, and we rode it all over the place. And as I'd go to those places, I'd go out in the country, and I'd go to those temples, and I would notice these different gods that they would worship, and how they would take and tie little pieces of paper on trees, and how they would pray, and how that they would hope that some god somewhere would hear their prayer. And they would bow down to these gods. And then there in Vietnam, it was the same thing, where they had these gods that they worshiped there. I would go in the homes of the people. I had the opportunity to go in the homes of the folks there in Vietnam and went in there to visit in their homes, and they would have ancestor worship. And they actually worshiped their ancestors. They had their pictures there, and they would bow down and pray to their ancestors as their ancestors had prayed to their ancestors. And what a sad thing to put your hope in a mortal man. But that's what had happened in those places there. Now, ancient Israel had already been forbidden, to do this. They had been forbidden to make any use of any type of a god that would prop them up in their worship. And let me ask this. How can you in any way picture God? How can you in any way make any representation of God? It's an impossibility. How big is God? Well, He's bigger than the universe. Yet He's small enough to live within my heart. What a wonderful thing. You cannot picture that. There's no way to picture that type of thing. With the second commandment, we have a prohibition once again, and this was a real problem for the Israelites. Here's another prohibition against polytheism, because it was all around them. The heathenism was all around them. They had to be ye separate, saith the Lord. They had to stand firm. Deuteronomy 16:22 says, neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. The Lord hates these images. He hates these images. And I believe it was 1976, I flew to Guatemala after the great earthquake down there in Guatemala, and I was helping churches down there, and the Catholics were picking up their gods and putting them back together and gluing them back together and trying to get them set back up so they could pray to them. What a sad thing that is to see. This commandment forbids that. Forbids the worship of any graven image. And I want you to think for a moment how ludicrous it is to worship an image. It's ludicrous. Growing up, I listened to WWL radio out of New Orleans, and I still listen to WWL. I can pick it up here, 87, on the AM dial. I pick up KMOX at home and listen to some of the stuff. Most junk on KMOX anymore isn't worth listening to, but there is some good stuff on there. I do like to listen at night. And I like AM radio. But growing up, I grew up listening to WWL radio, and at the time, they were owned by the Jesuits. Now, they did have the New Orleans Jazz Club that I was a member of when I was growing up, and so I wanted to listen to that. And a lot of the old sports people and things like that, Buddy Deliberto and Nash Roberts and folks like that. But every Sunday morning, Mass would be broadcast on the radio. And I was interested to listen to it. And I would listen as they would say, Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, blessed is fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And would be counting those beads. On Fayard Street in Biloxi, Mississippi is the Church of the Nativity. And they have statues in the church. And I went in and they had this box of, a basket of rosary beads. And so I picked me some up. Made in China. Really? I'm not joking. Made in China. What good is it to count beads? I mean, where does that come from? Counting a bead. We're told not to do that kind of thing. No kind of helps in this way. No way should we do that. This commandment reminds us that these images attack the freedom of God. They attack the sovereignty of God. Any image worship attacks God's sovereignty. There has been and always will be those who seek to make the incomprehensible that make it comprehensible. I mean, put those two words together for a country boy from down on the coast, actually a coasty boy. Been in the country now for quite a few years, but the incomprehensible to make it comprehensible. they want to make it to where you can get a hold of it. But the only way you can get a hold of this that I'm talking about is by the Spirit of God. It's the only way it'll happen. Job 11:7 says, "Canst thou by searching find our God?" Can you find Him by searching? Canst thou find out the Almighty to perfection? And some people go crazy trying to do that. I have a good friend, Denise knows him well. He actually ruined his health trying to figure out God. I believe he's saved, but it has wrecked his health. I mean, it's a terrible thing. You have to take God by faith. You have to believe and trust Him. You must do that. Romans 11:33 says, "O depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Now, I accept that. So I'm not trying to find Him out. Okay? I'm not trying to figure Him out. It's past that. You can't fathom it. It's unfathomable. When I was a young man working on the shrimp boat, we didn't have all these depth finders and all that kind of stuff. Back in those days, you just had to figure things out on your own. And we had a long cane pole. I had another name for it when I was growing up. I had a long cane pole. And when we would go up under an island for the night out in the Gulf, I would get at the front and I would put that pole down in the water. And I'd tell my papa, I said, "I can't touch bottom." And he'd keep moving forward. "Can't touch bottom," and keep moving forward. "Can't touch bottom." And then I'd say, "I've touched bottom." He said, "Let's go up until it's about 6 feet. Give us room for the tide. Going out or coming in." And then we'd find a spot and drop anchor and spend the night out in the Gulf under an island somewhere. But let me tell you something. You can put down any kind of pole you want. You cannot hit bottom with God. You never figure Him out. You'll never be able to hit bottom. He's deeper. He's deeper than any feeble mind can comprehend. I like reading the theologians. I like Thomas Watson. I like John Gill. I like reading the Puritans. I like digging into all those things. But they'll drive you crazy. And they're so stinking wordy. Why not just take it by faith? Amen. So I just read what I want to. Somebody looks at the library, my library, and they say, "Have you read all those books?" I said, "No, a theological library is not to read all the books. It's to have them there when you need them. So you can search out the great things of God. But you'll never hit bottom." But those who make these images, and they have to make them, you have to make them up. God doesn't ship them in. Because He's against them. But those who make and worship an idol God do so they can control their God. That's what that's all about. Job has told us that you can't find Him. So they want to find Him and be able to control Him and contain Him. Jehovah God cannot and will not be limited to in any way whatsoever, to any space whatsoever. But you can control an idol, can't you? You can pick it up and you can move it. A lot of these motels now are run by Indians, and they're not woo 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 Indians. They come from over in India. A lot of them are run by them, and sad to say, I can illustrate this better than I used to, but they've got this big fat man there. Old Buddha. And I went into one of those places one morning, you know, getting ready to get me some tea bags and some creamer and extra sugar. They don't put much in those rooms when they're running them. And I went in there, and you know what he was doing? He was dusting the belly of old Buddha. Dusting his belly. Can you imagine? Over in India, they were moving one of those big Buddhas, and he fell off the rack they were moving him on, and he fell in the mud. And they had to get their Buddha out of the mud and wash him off. And clean him up and brush his teeth. No, they didn't brush his teeth. They had to clean him up and stick him back up where they could worship him. Your God has never been in the mud except when he reached down into the mire and brought you out. Amen? How ludicrous this is to think that you can carry your God in your purse or in your pocket. But folks do. Down on the coast where I grew up, heavily Catholic area, and Bill and I both, we're not trying to slap anybody upside the head, we're just trying to preach the truth. But they have these different saints down there. But I like the New Orleans saints better than any of them, but anyway, they got a bunch of saints down there. You know, an old Drew Brees. But anyway, if you want the saint of transportation and travel, you need Saint Christopher. And you go to the Catholic store and you buy you a Saint Christopher who will stick on your dash. And back when cars were made out of metal, they would stick up there on the metal dash, but those days are over and you've got to glue him up there. They don't make them that way. But folks would go around with that St. Christopher on the dash. He protected them. You really think so? I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think that at all. When man controls his God, man himself becomes his own God. And that's what's happened. Man wants to be his own God so he can set his God up and take his God down, and he becomes his own God. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous to become your own God. Look in Romans chapter 1. Book of Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1, and beginning our reading at verse number 26. The Bible says, well, let's go back up to verse 21 and get a picture of this, and we'll get down to 26 in a minute. But notice what it says here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So there was a time when these that are spoken of here, they knew God, but they didn't glorify God. They had learned about Him. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and boy, folks have those today. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, no God, no God, no God. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible, and let me say the incomprehensible, God, into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There in Trinidad, I went to a couple of them, Hindu temples, hideous gods. The most hideous one I saw was the snake god. And here's this woman with snakes all over her, snakes for arms and snakes in her hair and snakes everywhere. How would you like to worship that? Terrible thing. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we're doing that today. We're worshiping the earth and we're worshiping the creature, and we're letting environmentalists keep us from getting oil that we need piped through this country so we can become independent of our enemies. We worship these things in our country. We let a little small element rule us. There have been two revolutions in this country. There was the American Revolution, which was the first revolution. And then there was the war between the states, which was the second revolution. And both were fought for constitutional reasons. One for freedom, so the Constitution could be written, and the other because it was written to keep us to that Constitution. I pray there'll not be a third revolution. But how long will honest people sit back and let the government completely destroy our nation? I mean, that's a big question, isn't it? I mean, that's a big question. It's a sad thing to see what's going on. And these actions of these people who are, well, I call them tree huggers. Now, in Mississippi, we believe in grow a tree, cut a tree, replant a tree. Because that's industry. But now our government is allowing trees or lumber to be shipped in from Canada at a lower rate than we can cut it and produce it ourselves. Makes no sense to me. NAFTA and all those things are destructive to our country. And CAFTA. How many things can you find made in America when you go to shop? I bet the britches you got on, the dress you got on, is made in the Dominican Republic or in China or in Timbuktu. Somewhere. And when man deifies himself, he possesses a spirit of Antichrist. Because, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, speaking of the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, this world is going to have to be brought to a place where one world government can come in. Is that right? You say, well, preacher, if that has to happen, then we just need to sit back and let it go. Not me. Do right, do right, do right till the stars fall, and then do right. You never do wrong by doing right. So he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we're rushing toward the moment when the Antichrist is going to come. He may be alive. We don't know that. Don't know that. But I know this. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad when the rapture takes place, I'm going to heaven. But I'm saddened that so many of my friends, folks that I know, that I love, are going to be left behind because they're not saved. Because they're not saved. How sad. Professed Christians even seek to contain God. They do. They put Him in a box of their own making and they control Him. They say, now, God, we know what Your Word says, but we're not going to allow that to be done here. We are in control and we don't care what Your Word says. when you say that you don't care what the Bible says, that this is the way we're going to do it as a church, then you're putting God in a box. Amen? Psalm 50 and verse 21 says, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such one as thyself, just like you are. But I'm not. God is not man, except in the Christ man. Man tries to humanize God, to make Him less than what He is. And listen, a person makes a mental image when he limits God and tells God what He can do. A God who would do a lot of good things if Almighty Man would give Him permission to act. But that's not the God of the Bible. It bothers me, it burns me, it gets me upset when some of these high-powered charismatic evangelists say, I command you, God, that you heal this person. I tell you, you don't tell God to do anything. You don't command God to do anything. God does as He pleases. And as He pleases. The making of an image physically or mentally attacks the majesty of Jehovah God. And friends, nothing can compare unto our God. Notice Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and verses 10 through 13. Nothing compares to my God. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Wherefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who can hinder Him from doing anything that He pleases to do? You can't. He is Almighty God. Our God is not limited, nor will He be controlled by any man or any force. Amen? He will not do that. I think of Isaiah chapter 6, and Isaiah had to get a picture of who God really is. Amen? He had to see who God really is. And in Isaiah chapter 6, in the first four verses, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Majestic garment. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And it says, With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried into another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And friends, when you see that, you will say with Isaiah in verse number 5, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. We get off our high horse. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And friends, we see Him by faith today. And we see what He does. And I've seen Him work. I've seen Him move. I've seen Him do mighty things. And I'm believing He'll continue to do that. I am. Now, man by nature is incurably religious, is he not? I mean, folks like being religious. They do. Man is religious And he is an idolater by his very nature. I mean, that's the nature of a man to set him up something to worship. He is incurably religious. Finite man tries his best to think of an infinite God in finite terms and limitations and conditions. Man wants to localize God. Place him in time and space. And that's why man likes pictures and statues and other images. He wants to localize God. So he gets these different pictures and things and spreads them around. Man often prays to an image or to a picture instead of to God. Now, hunting season is a big thing in Mississippi. To hunt the mighty deer and the wild hog and the little squirrel and the fast rabbit and the coon and any other thing that'll move, they want to hunt it. They love to hunt, and we live right in the middle of it. From my house, and this is the truth, I raise my right hand. From where I live, you've got to go toward town to hunt. That's right. You go toward town from my house to hunt. We in the middle of hunting. There are hunting camps around us. We live yonder. Some of y'all been out to my place. It's yonder, isn't it, Murray? It's yonder. Somebody said, "Where's yonder?" I said, "Where I live." I live yonder. But again, I was listening to WWL, and the hunting show came on, and they said, "Well, it's hunting season, and it's time for us to pray to St. Hubert. Because St. Hubert, he is the hunter's saint." The hunter's saint. He really, St. Hubertius. But they just shortened it to St. Hubert. He died on the 30th of May, 727. He was a great hunter. And he saw a vision while he was out hunting the deer. And was converted. And became a priest. And because of that, during the hunting season, we get pictures of and pray to St. Herbert. Do y'all want me to mail you some? But that's true. That's what they do. You can pick them up in the bookstores and the Catholic store. You can do that. It's sad, but that is the absolute truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verses 5 and 6, we're reminded here that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We don't pray to St. Christopher. We don't pray to St. Hubert. Some of y'all know about Jonesboro, Arkansas. They have got a hospital named after a dog. St. Bernard Hospital. No, really. That hospital's named after St. Bernard. St. Bernard. And they pray to St. Bernard. It gets somewhat out of hand, does it not? It's so sad to see it. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." There's one mediator. There's nobody else for me to pray to except to God, and I do so through the Lord Jesus. I believe we ought to end our prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want you to keep in mind tonight that it's absolutely impossible. It is impossible to make an image
of Almighty God. For the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. John 4:24. John 1:18 tells us that no man has seen God at any time. How can you make an image of something you've never seen? It's impossible. But man wants to have something to help him to worship. He wants something he can touch. We live in a touchy-feely type of society. That's like that pet rock. I mean, folks like their little rock. You know? Man, if you want a pet rock, come over to my place. We got them all over the road. We live over this gravel road. We got plenty of rocks. We'll let you pet. But people want something, don't they? They like to have something that they can look at and see. But I pray to the God of heaven. I look to Him. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, I want us to notice God's requirement for worship. And it is profoundly stated in this second commandment. God requires His people to worship Him spiritually. You don't worship Him spiritually when you pray to something other than to God. We're to keep our worship spiritual in all aspects. And the only man who can worship God in spirit is one who has the Holy Spirit living within him. If any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his, Romans 8 and verse 9. That's one of the verses I use with my Pentecostal friends. They said, well, you don't get Spirit until you get the second blessing. I said, well, I've already had hundreds of blessings. But I said, what are you going to do with Romans 8 and verse 9? Well, I don't know that verse. And then I pointed out to them, if you don't have the Spirit, you're lost. Oh, no, that ain't what it means. I said, it is what it means. That's what it means. It says what it means what it says. They go running off to Brother Tipton. Local Pentecost, he's a good friend of mine. We get along just fine. He knows I don't agree with him, and he doesn't agree with me, but we're just plain old friends, period. But he knows what I believe. He watches us on the TV. He hears me preach, and hopefully one day he'll see it. Amen. I pray so. Only that which is spiritual in us can worship that which is spiritual above. Amen. You've got to have the Spirit. Philippians 3 and verse 3 says this, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I don't have confidence in the things that man can make, nor in my flesh and what I would do. We're told that we do not need to make images or pictures to help us to worship. The child of God walks by what and not by what? The child of God walks by, say it, faith, not by sight. All right, class. The child of God walks by faith, not by sight. That's right. We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't have to have a big old picture hanging up and say, oh, get all googly-eyed over it. No, we ought to bow on our knees with our face in the dirt, knowing how unworthy we are. A statue doesn't help man to worship, does it? And folks have always been getting off base. I mean, they get off base. They get off base. I was reading just this afternoon out of 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 4, how that Hezekiah noticed that the folks were worshiping this serpent. And these were God's people. And what had happened was the serpent that Moses had lifted up, they kept it. And instead of worshiping God, they got to worshiping the serpent. So here in
2 Kings 18 and verse 4, the Bible tells us that Hezekiah removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nebushtan. They worshipped that serpent and they burned incense to it. Bring in the incense pots. I mean, they did. They burned incense. What do you find with these candles and stuff in worship? Amen. You find that. But why is this prohibited? Well, when man goes on in his idolatry, he persists in error, and the iniquity is visited on the third and fourth generation. It brings a curse upon your people. Brings a curse upon your children and grandchildren. Hard for them to get loose from that. Becomes a tradition. And I want to remind you tonight that our God is a jealous God. And He wants you to worship in spirit and in truth. And it's sad to say, but it is true that idol worship is of the devil himself. We certainly ought not worship an idol. 1 Corinthians 10 and 19 and 20 says this, "What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God." Oh, it's okay, preacher. If they want to worship that way, it's just nothing to it. No, my Bible says they worship devils. That's what it says. They worship devils and not God. "And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." I don't want you having fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. And you've got to make a distinction, amen? You've got to make a distinction. And we're not to keep company with idol worshipers. Amen? We need to stay with the truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Are you ready to meet the Lord? You've got to know Him in spirit. You don't know Him through an idol. You know Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Or you don't get to go. Let's stand together. Brother Wayne's coming. He'll take the invitation time. We're not to worship a man or anything like that. Amen?